Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest this morning for about an hour and a half is going to be Dr. Michael T. Clare, who is, among other things, the defense correspondent for The Nation magazine. He's also the Five College Professor of Peace and World Security Studies, which is a joint appointment at Amherst College, Hampshire College, Mount Holyoke College, Smith College, and the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. He is also the director of the Five College Program in Peace and World Security Studies, a position he has held since 1985. Before assuming his present post, he also served as the director of the Program on Militarism and Disarmament at the Institute for Policy Studies in Washington, D.C. Dr. Clare, how are you, sir?
Oh, just fine. Good morning to you.
Yes. Listen, in terms of your overall work, I'm sure some of our listeners who look at The Nation magazine from time to time will be familiar with you as their defense correspondent. Where do you see things headed now in the Middle East and in Iraq and Iran, specifically with some of the things that Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney have been saying in the last couple of days?
Well, you know, I'm sure listeners have been following this closely as I have. I'm sure they're aware that the Iraq Study Group gave its report just before Christmas, cautioning the president to consider steps to engage the other powers in the region, Iran and Syria, diplomatically, and to consider steps for gradually withdrawing American forces and to try to find a strategy for bringing peace to the region. And clearly the president of the United States has chosen a different path. He has chosen to send more troops to the region and to confront Iran and Syria. He's chosen to go in the opposite direction. So my fear is that he's chosen a path of confrontation, and this is going to lead to greater instability, greater crisis. And I'm worried, for the American troops who are going over there.
Yes, in terms of this whole interesting phenomenon, you quite clearly have Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney drawing their wagons around their own policy here, it seems to me. And as you pointed out, they have largely ignored the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group proposals. If anything, it seems to me that some of Bush's statements in recent times have been even more bellicose when it comes to Iran. And, of course, we now have this eventual committal of 21,000 troops coming up to both Baghdad and Anbar province. Do you perceive that the Congress is going to, in fact, acquiesce in this, or do you think they're going to step up to the plate and heighten their own conflict with Mr. Bush's policy?
Well, you know, under our Constitution, there are limits to what Congress can do. I think they're going to squawk loudly, and there'll be hearings, there'll be resolutions, but they really don't have the constitutional power to stop the president from ordering troops over there. The question is whether they can use the power of the purse to put a stop to that. I find it very hard to believe that they'll be able to go that far.
Well, in terms of this whole situation, assuming that the troops are committed, and it certainly looks to be that way now that that's in fact going to happen, what do you think Bush is banking on in terms of his belief that the committing of these individual troops is ultimately going to make a difference in terms of where the thing is headed directionally? We'll take that up with you when we return, sir. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Dr. Michael Clare, the defense correspondent of The Nation magazine. When we return, stay tuned.
Do you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest until around 9:30 Central Standard Time is going to be Dr. Michael T. Clare, who is the defense correspondent at The Nation magazine, and among many other things is the author of a work entitled Resource Wars, The New Landscape of Global Conflict. Dr. Clare, we were talking a little bit before the break about the president's decision to commit these additional 21,000 troops into Iraq. I understand principally in Baghdad and to some extent in El Anbar province. What, in your judgment, is Bush's thinking or the thinking of his top advisors in believing that this latest so-called surge can improve what certainly looks to me like a war of counterinsurgency and a civil war that we're on the verge of losing?
Well, I think that they believe, you know, first of all, that Baghdad is the center of gravity of Iraq. That's where all the diplomats are. That's where the reporters are. And we've had nothing but bad news there for the past 6 months or so. Daily reports of suicide bombers, of militia clashes between the militias, of assassinations, of roadside bombers. The news has been indiscriminately bad, and I think they want to try to reverse that because that's what made the American public turn sour on the war. So I think they figure if they could make Baghdad look better, no matter what's happening in the rest of the country, you know, maybe they could get some good news here. That's the way I think about it, because they're not sending enough troops over there to bring peace to Iraq. You'd need to send hundreds of thousands of troops, and there's no way the United States can do that. So I think they're hoping for a public relations victory in Baghdad. That's the best that I think they hope to accomplish over there.
Well, you know, again, in terms of the Iraq study group, it's been pointed out in recent days by a number of the people, for example, like at antiwar.com, that at the time of the Iraq study group's issuing its report in that general time frame, you had something coming out of the American Enterprise Institute written by Frederick Kagan and I guess a general named Jack Keane arguing for what basically seems to be the present direction of Bush's policy. Is this a situation where the American Enterprise Institute report has basically trumped the Iraq study group in terms of the year of the president?
I couldn't speak to that. I think that there are other people as well, including people in the military, some people in the military who were arguing for this as well. So whether it's the AEI, American Enterprise Institute, people in the military who are pushing for this, I think also the president himself, President Bush himself, has staked his entire political career, his legacy, on success in Iraq, and he could see it slipping through his fingers. And I think he's made a last desperate bid to turn this thing around. I think he picked the one last hope that he could see to maybe succeed here somehow. I don't think it's going to work, but I think this is the least unpalatable option that he could find.
Well, in terms of this whole situation, I know Glenn Greenwald has a post today at lewrockwell.com entitled "The Collapse of the Bush Presidency Poses Risks." Assuming that we are dealing with a situation here where at least psychologically the president has invested so much of his so-called legacy and his whole the whole way in which he will be viewed in history on the basis of the outcome of the situation in Iraq, let's assume what I frankly would assume, that the addition of the 21,000 troops will not work, and that a year from now we're looking at an even more catastrophic situation than we already have in Iraq. Where does that leave Bush, and where does that leave the American people, and where does that leave American foreign policy in that region?
Boy, let's hope that there are some very smart people waiting in the wings to replace the current slew of leaders. I mean, President Bush won't be out for another year or so, but I sure hope that he has some wise counsel. I think his father is a very smart man, and he has some good people working for him that they'll step in and say, "Junior, I think it's time to sweep out the old bunch and bring in some smart guys and women to replace the dummies you have working for you to try to rescue the situation," because the advice he's getting now is getting him into deeper and deeper trouble. We're going to need some new advice a year or so from now to save us from this situation. The Iraq study group was a start, and he just didn't listen to them. So I hope that the next time around he'll pay closer attention.
I know that this is perhaps putting you on the spot, but This comes up so frequently in the press, in the internet press at least, and a number of people right and left have been talking about the influence of the Israeli lobby as far as the current policies of both the Bush administration as well as some of his supporters up on Capitol Hill for this interventionist thing in Iraq. Do you believe that the Israeli lobby has been a major factor in our decision to go into Iraq to begin with? And in terms of this Mearsheimer-Walt report, what's your take on that?
You know, I hear this said, but, you know, I'm just not in a position to be able to say whether that's true or not. I think there are plenty of people around George Bush like Dick Cheney, who have their own reasons for pushing this view. My research is on the history of oil politics in American foreign policy, Mark. I've written a book called Blood and Oil about America's dependency on Middle Eastern oil that goes back to Franklin Roosevelt, back to World War II days before the State of Israel was created. And frankly, I think that's the most powerful motive for American policy in the Middle East, and that was the driving factor in getting us into the war in Iraq. I'm not saying there aren't other motives, but from what I could tell, when you hear Dick Cheney speak, it's oil, oil, and oil every time.
Well, this is something I've read Lutz Clavman's book, The New Great Game, and unfortunately I've not yet read some of your most significant works in this area, including this Henry Holt publication, Resource Wars, The New Landscape of Global Conflict. But you essentially then would subscribe to the idea that first and foremost, the committing of American military force into Iraq was driven by fossil fuels energy concerns.
I would say yes, but I put this in the long view of history. I don't say it began, first of all, with George Bush. I say that this goes back to Roosevelt, who met with King Abdulaziz of Saudi Arabia in 1945 aboard the USS Quincy, and made a U.S. commitment to protect the Saudi Arabian royal family in return for privileged access to Saudi Arabian oil, and that every American president since then has made a commitment to protect Saudi Arabia and to protect the flow of oil from the Persian Gulf. This is the Carter Doctrine of President Jimmy Carter, so this is as much a Democratic as a Republican policy. And President Carter, President Bush Sr. have said over and over again, the American economy rests on our ability to get to the free flow of Persian Gulf oil, and we'll do whatever is necessary, including go to war, to be able to get into the Persian Gulf. So it's on this basis, the geostrategic purpose of protecting Persian Gulf oil that we went to war in Iraq. Yes, that's what I think is the basis. And Vice President Dick Cheney has said as much on several occasions.
Do you think that, with all of this talk about Iran trying to create an oil burst that would do business in euros rather than dollars, and then, of course, obviously Iran in and of itself plays a major role in the world oil scene with its production capabilities in Khuzestan province, do you think that with the rationale that you believe to be fundamentally behind the Bush policy in Iraq, that would virtually guarantee an American military intervention with Iran?
I think that the way things are headed today, I would say yes. We seem headed towards a confrontation with Iran, and it worries me deeply. Now, I think it's still possible to avert a military clash with Iran if, with the intercession of the Europeans, the Iranians, and hopefully, the Russians and the Chinese, the Iranians can be persuaded to back down on their stubborn pursuit of nuclear enrichment. If they could be persuaded to compromise on that, then I think we could avert a clash with Iran. But it seems to me that's the way we're headed today.
If that happens, what kind of time frame do you think would be involved?
Well, the president has announced he's sending another aircraft carrier battle group to the Persian Gulf area. The aircraft carrier Stennis, I believe, is on its way. So we're still talking several months from now.
We will be back with Professor Michael T. Clare, the defense correspondent of The Nation magazine. Mark Dankos America returns to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartabite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Michael Clare, who is, among other things, the defense correspondent of The Nation magazine. He has an incredible laundry list of accomplishments. If you look at his biography as it is posted at amherst.edu, and he is particularly interested in the whole way in which fossil fuels, energy supplies have driven American foreign policy. If you take a look online at his Resource Wars, the New Landscape of Global Conflict, you'll see a summation of what is available through Henry Holt Publishers. Dr. Clare, before the break, you were talking a little bit about the John Stennis Aircraft Carrier Task Force group being dispatched from Norfolk. I saw, I think it was about 3 days ago, where the Israeli Debka website had mentioned the dispatch of this third aircraft carrier task force group, joining, as I remember it, the USS Dwight Eisenhower and the USS Kitty Hawk. In this whole thing, I was very curious to see that you mentioned that you thought this whole business with Iran could come to a head in the next couple of months.
Yes. I sense that the Department of Defense is putting into place the elements of a capacity to engage Iran in air and naval strikes. Now, we obviously do not possess a capacity for a ground war with Iran because virtually the entire army is now taken up with the war in Iraq. So there isn't a capacity for another war with Iran that would involve ground troops. But I do think they're putting in place the capacity for air and naval strikes against Iran. And it was very significant in my mind, very significant that last week President Bush replaced the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Central Command, CENTCOM, which is the command authority with responsibility for the Persian Gulf area, replaced General John Abazid, who was an army officer who has been in charge of this command for the past few years, replaced him with Admiral William Fallon, who was the commander-in-chief of the U.S. Pacific Command, obviously a naval officer. This is the first time that a naval officer has ever been in charge of U.S. forces in the region. I think this is very significant because why bring in a naval officer to this command, which is fighting two wars, one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan, both ground wars? Why bring in a naval officer who is a specialist in carrier operations unless you're planning a carrier war? And I think that's because the president is gearing up for possible carrier operations against Iran.
Yeah, you know, Pat Buchanan had noted this in a recent post he had at antiwar.com, that basically having this SINCPAC chief, Fallon, coming in to take over command of CENTCOM, Buchanan sees that pretty much the way you see it, in terms of a hint of what's to come in terms of a carrier-based series of aerial strikes against Iran. This then begs the question. I had seen Lieutenant General William Odom say the other day at the Nieman Foundation of Harvard University that aside from the fact that Odom does not sound like he's particularly thrilled with the idea of any sort of preemptive war against Iran anyway, he did say that he felt that the aerial strikes could not possibly achieve what the planners think they will achieve, that he thought it would have to be followed by some committing of U.S. ground forces. And then quite clearly, as you point out, virtually the entire United States Army seems to be tied up with Iraq. Aside from whether or not these strikes should happen, if they do happen, how many targets are we talking about in Iran? How successful do you think an aerial campaign alone would be? And what do you think would be the political fallout from this?
Oh boy, this is a long conversation, because there are many unknowns in all of this. My understanding is there are somewhere around 50 or so facilities that might be connected to the Iranian nuclear project, but that's what's publicly known. I have no idea what's known to the intelligence community that's not made public. So let's guess 100 such facilities, many of which are probably deep underground, so you would need multiple strikes to have any assurance of doing real damage. But those are all heavily protected, so you would need multiple strikes to attack the radars and the missile, anti-aircraft missile facilities. So now we're up to the hundreds. But the Iranians have said they would attack our shipping in the Gulf, so you'd also have to attack their airfields and their naval facilities, so we're talking thousands now.
We will be back with Professor Michael T. Clare, the defense correspondent of The Nation magazine, when Mark Dankos America returns from San Antonio, Texas, live on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth. Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Attention, attention everyone, a brand new invention just released. It's called WristEase, the new patented portable ergonomic wrist support. WristEase comforts your wrists from the sometimes painful tasks of typing, writing, using a mouse, or adding machine. Unlike most conventional wrist pads that are either attached to a mouse pad or lay flat in front of your keyboard, WristEase is totally portable and ideal for laptop users and technicians who are constantly on the go. WristEase is perfect for children doing homework or playing video games. WristEase provides the proper comfort and support for all ages and provides comfort for victims of carpal tunnel syndrome and other repetitive injuries. You can order WristEase now at WristEase.com. That's WristEase, WristEase. WristEase.com. Once again, that's WristEase, WristEase.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Professor Michael T. Clare, who is the defense correspondent of The Nation. He's also the Five College Professor of Peace and World Security Studies, which is a joint appointment at Amherst College, Hampshire College, Mount Holyoke College, Smith College, and the University of Massachusetts at Amherst. And among his many publications, which you will be interested in, is a 2001 work for Henry Holt Publishers entitled Resource Wars, The New Landscape of Global Conflict. I'm sure it would be well worth your time and mine. Dr. Clare, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the fact that some sort of an aerial campaign against Iran, presumably launched by aircraft carrier aerial forces, maybe a couple of months away in the offing, that perhaps this appointment of the SINCPAC commander William Fallon, Admiral William Fallon, to take over CENTCOM would be suggestive that something like this is just around the corner. If there are hundreds of sites that end up having to be hit by American aerial forces, are we talking about something where there would be untold amount of, as the military puts it, collateral damage? What kinds of civilian casualties do you think would come out of something like this?
Well, that's a good question to ask. And bear in mind, an operation like this, its effects would not be limited to Iran, because Iran has assets that it could bring into play in areas other than Iran itself. My big worry would be what would happen in Iraq, because the Iranians have ties to many of the militias in Iraq that they could stir up in response to these kind of attacks, where American soldiers would be at risk. This is why I think what President Bush is doing is insane, because he's putting American soldiers at risk by threatening the Iranians in this way. I think if I were the Iranians, I wouldn't attempt to respond to American firepower in a conventional manner, because they couldn't possibly respond effectively, because our forces are so superior. But they would have to respond in an unconventional manner, what the military calls asymmetrical warfare, by stirring up the militias in Iraq, possibly Hezbollah in Lebanon. There are Shiites in Saudi Arabia, in the eastern province where the oil fields are. Perhaps they could engage in sabotage of the oil wells and the refineries and the pipelines in Saudi Arabia, which would bring the global oil traffic to a halt, or severely damage the global oil traffic, which would produce, you know, $100 a barrel oil, $200 a barrel oil, which would produce a worldwide economic recession. These are the sorts of responses I would expect the Iranians to make, rather than a one-on-one military response. So I don't know whether the president and his men have thought about this, but I would expect all kinds of chaos to ensue, with all kinds of casualties, civilian and military. But we couldn't even imagine what the collateral damage might be.
Yes, you've got, again, the issue of the prospective number of civilian casualties that could be involved in this. Quite clearly, as you point out, you have a Shiite contingency that is in position potentially to threaten the Saudi Arabian oil field production capabilities. I'm thinking back to the Iran-Iraq war between 1980 and 1988, when the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps and these so-called besieged volunteer units were used by the Ayatollah with such tremendous success against the Iraqis in that tit-for-tat war that went back and forth there for 8 years, and you had over 1.5 million casualties there. I would presume that Ahmadinejad, particularly since he had such a central role to play in the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps movement at the time in the mid to late 80s when that war was going on, that he would be perfectly ready and capable of utilizing these Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps volunteer units against their own people in Iraq. And then, to me, there's another element that comes up in this as well. The very predictable backlash against an American military intervention in Iran that would come both, I presume, in the Islamic world from Somalia to Indonesia would be incalculable. The other thing that comes to my mind is what the domestic political reaction might be to this in both Europe and the United States.
Oh, yes, so right to raise all these questions. And your memory of the Iran-Iraq War is good. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with that history, but you're quite right that that was the invasion by Saddam Hussein back then in 1980. And what that does speak to, and I think you're right to bring that up, is that a U.S. attack on Iran will provoke a nationalistic response. The fact of the matter is that many Iranians do not like Ahmadinejad, particularly young people, because we know there have been anti-Ahmadinejad demonstrations lately. The young people are angry because of the repression, the lack of freedoms that they have. They want to be more like us. They want to have more of a more freedoms, more of a Western culture, and I think left to themselves, in time, we would see a more liberalizing force in Iran. But each time the U.S. attacks Iran, it's going to provoke a nationalistic response, and people are going to rally to the flag, as it were, are going to rally to Ahmadinejad. So if we attack the country, every person in Iran is going to rise up in opposition, just as they did, as you say, in 1980 when the Iraqis attacked. So I think that's a good analogy, and I think we would face overwhelming opposition.
What do you think an American military action like this one would portend as far as the survivability of the reasonably pro-American governments in Egypt and Jordan and Saudi Arabia?
Oh, boy, this is the big question, and I would be worried because here you have a case where the governments are sympathetic to America's interests, but after all, these are governments that are closely tied to the United States. They get a lot of benefits from their ties to the United States, military aid, economic aid, diplomatic support. The King of Saudi Arabia is invited to President Bush's ranch in Crawford, Texas all the time. They value all of those ties, but the publics in those countries are often furious at them for being so closely associated with the White House and with Washington, which they see as being very anti-Muslim. So if the United States attacks another Muslim country, I think they're going to turn on their own rulers for being so closely associated with the United States. And I think we could see a sharp rise of anti-Americanism, instability, demonstrations, riots. It could be a very dangerous period. You're right to ask that.
So in essence, we could be looking at a circumstance, at least in theory, where, God forbid, you could have an American aerial campaign being conducted against Iran that would be less successful than the military planners advertise in regard to actually destroying all of the sites in question. We could be seeing an anti-American backlash in the Islamic world as a result of this that could threaten the survivability of governments in Saudi Arabia and Jordan and Egypt. Quite clearly, I think there's the American domestic political question involved in this. And if the Iranians, getting back to this whole thing that you cite of asymmetrical warfare, if they are successful, for example, in sinking a vessel that would block the Strait of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf, if they unleash these Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps volunteers against American and British positions in Iraq, if they should attack American and British and Israeli assets worldwide with terrorist cell groups and so forth, if all of this comes together, if all of this coalesces in something that proves to be absolutely disastrous, would it be safe to say that the president and his advisors, among other things, have simply overestimated the ability of a conventional military force under the control of the world's quote-unquote major empire in impacting policy in that region, that we would be underestimating the capabilities and the planning of the other side?
Well, I think that's probably a fair estimate. And, you know, I think that's why we're hearing so much dissent from the U.S. military and why we're seeing these personnel changes at the top. You know, I've had the opportunity to meet senior military personnel on various occasions, and there's no question that the American military has attracted some extremely intelligent and thoughtful people. General Abizaid, who until recently was head of the U.S. Central Command, is a very thoughtful man. He has had experience in the Middle East. He's of Lebanese-American descent. He's familiar with the region, and he advised the president against escalating the presence in Iraq. He apparently, you know, spoke with the Iraq study group. He told the president and his advisors not to send more troops, that it was a bad idea. He advised in favor of engagement with Iran and Syria. This is a man who's had close experience with the situation in Iraq and in Afghanistan, you know, and he was pushed aside just last week. So clearly they're very skilled professional people within the military of the United States who have commanded troops in battle who are looking at this picture, seeing exactly what you just described, Mark, who see just exactly what you described, telling the president this is a mistake, and their advice is not being listened to. The professional voices in the military are not being listened to, and that's what makes me so worried when the professional voices in the military, people with experience on the ground, their advice is being ignored in favor of, you know, pontificators in the think tanks like the American Enterprise Institute you were talking about before, who have no military experience. That's when you have to worry about the fate of the country.
Well, yeah, I was struck a number of days ago, something I never remember in my brief lifetime, never remember transpiring, at least, you know, in recent years. The commanding general out here at Randolph Air Force Base in San Antonio, which is the home of the so-called Air Training Command or Air Training and Education Command. Probably every fighter pilot in the Air Force either trained there or was stationed there at one time or another. He made an incredible series of public remarks that were on the front page of the San Antonio Express News a few days ago. I certainly agreed with some of what he said, but in the main, he was expressing, as an active duty head of a major Air Force command, a strenuous disagreement with what had been Bush administration policy on this Iraq situation since March of 2003. I agreed with of much of what he said. I was amazed, however, that he said it and that he said it publicly, given this whole issue of the controversy that would surround a major military commander being this frank and public and disagreeing with the commander-in-chief. Is this situation involving General Looney here in San Antonio indicative of a much larger military disenchantment with the present administration?
Yes, that's exactly what I was suggesting, that I cannot remember a time like this. Even in Vietnam, I don't think you had this much public expression of disagreement with the policy expressed by the president by senior-ranking military officers at this stage in a conflict of this sort. We've had what they've called the revolt of the generals, recently retired officers who have spoken out. But now you have people still in uniform who are speaking out. I think this is unprecedented. And, Mark, I think it's because they are seeing what you just described, the possibility that that the president will escalate the conflict at a time when American forces are stretched to the limit, and that this would have a devastating effect on the American military institution, and they're deeply worried about this, as they should be.
Well, let's look at this scenario, Dr. Clare, and it's been suggested to me before by a number of people who've been on this show. You would have, in the event of an American aerial campaign against Iran, with or without ground troops, that this would be seen in the Islamic world as a complete outrage, not simply in the fact that a non-Islamic country is attacking an Islamic country, but in terms of our relationship with Israel, they're a non-signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. They are perceived, I think correctly, as being the region's most powerful nuclear, biological, and chemical military power. The United States did not preemptively attack India and Pakistan when they achieved a military use of nuclear power years ago. Wouldn't it be safe to say that at least in the Islamic world, that those discrepancies would be noted, that the United States would be seen as the ultimate hypocrite and criminal predator in the region, simply because its chief ally has all of the things in spades that it does not want Iran to acquire at any point. We'll get back to that after the commercial break. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We will be back with Dr. Michael T. Clare, the defense correspondent of The Nation, when we return. Stay tuned.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a three-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's windowgenie, spelled J-E-A-N-N-I-E.com.
Do you suffer from frequent and severe headaches? Well, you don't have to any longer. Headache Stay Gone is an all-natural headache remedy that is free of all side effects. Headache Stay Gone will cure any headache and prevent it from returning again. Painkillers can offer temporary relief at best, along with a long list of harmful side effects. Headache Stay Gone uses all-natural ingredients and cures your headache, letting you enjoy more time with your family and loved ones. We'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone today and send you the bill. Wait until your headache is cured before you pay for it. That's right, Headache Stay Gone must work for you before you pay for it. Try Headache Stay Gone risk-free by calling 1-800-327-0727 or visit www.headachestaygone.com. Again, that's 1-800-327-0727. And don't forget to ask about your risk-free trial today. Call now. Start living life without the headaches.
Back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Our special guest today is Dr. Michael T. Clare, the defense correspondent of The Nation magazine. Just wanted to warn him, as well as our listeners, that we have a series of frequent commercial breaks in the next 10 minutes, And then there will be a longer period of time for some continuous conversation up to about 9:30 this morning, which is the time that I think Dr. Clare needs to depart. But we are certainly glad and privileged to have him and his insights in regard to what is happening in this present policy in the Middle East. I think it's particularly noteworthy that a person of his stature is underscoring that this possible series of aerial preemptive strikes against Iran could be only months away, several months away. We'll watch that and see what happens in the days ahead. Dr. Clare, getting back to where we were before the last commercial break, if the United States does attack Iran from the air on a preemptive basis, given the fact that Israel is perceived to be the chief nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons power in that region, and given the fact that we have had no similar American preemptive policy against either India or Pakistan when they achieved a military use of nuclear weapons, how are we going to sell the notion then that attacking Iran on this perceived basis is legitimate, especially given the fact that a lot of folks in the intelligence community believe that they're 10 years away from even potentially having a weapon?
You know, this won't happen without a lot of, build-up. There'll be a lot of build-up to soften public opinion. There'll be a lot of revelations. There'll be a lot of fulminating at the United Nations. There'll be leaks. I mean, remember the period leading up to the attack in Iraq. It'll all be staged, managed from the White House with all kinds of, you know, remember Colin Powell going to the United Nations telling us that there was, conclusive evidence that Saddam Hussein had this, that, and the other thing. Only later did we find out that that was not true or exaggerated or fabricated. So we do have to expect a public relations campaign like that against Iran. So everybody who's listening should be alert to expect that kind of campaign to, you know, and the same thing will happen in Congress to get wavering members of the Senate and the House of Representatives to think, oh my, I can't vote against a resolution because what if it's true that the Iranians have all these things? So do be aware that there will be that kind of softening of public opinion taking place first.
In regard to the Powell speech before the UN prior to the March 2003 invasion of Iraq, with the fact that most knowledgeable critics of Powell and of the Bush administration, both left and right, have duly noted that this case for weapons of mass destruction at the time was non-existent, what's that going to mean in terms of our credibility when we claim the same things potentially when it comes to Iran? We'll get back to that question after the commercial break. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Back with Dr. Michael T. Clare of The Nation magazine when we return.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.